Hey, friend. Welcome to Houston Made, a show where I, Rusty Gates, get to talk with local Houston-based entrepreneurs and business owners about what it's like to be in the middle of that journey and selfishly gain insights as I build my own businesses. This is a little bit of a different episode because we don't have a guest in this episode. It's just me, your host, Rusty Gates, rambling into a microphone. This is going to be a little bit of an update, a little bit of an introduction, and me just chit-chatting. So if that's your cup of tea, sit down, relax, or I don't know, if you're walking outside, continue to walk, enjoy the sunshine, and we'll just kind of get into this. I think what I want to talk through is I do want to give an update on where things are with the show, where they're going. I think that it does make sense to introduce myself for people who may not have heard and give maybe even more context for those who've just been listening for a little bit. To talk about Houston Made and again, what the future might hold for this show. So I guess we'll start with the introduction, go a little bit out of order and say, hi, my name is Rusty and I am the host of Houston Made. This show has been my labor of love for the last, 2.5 years, somewhere around there. It's been, I think we're 2022 now, 2021. I think that I really started working in it in earnest in 2020, and then it came to life in 2021 and ran from May all the way through December. That was season one of the show, and then it's gone on from there. I have just a really mixed background of starting out in church work. I thought that that's what I was going to do my whole life from the time of childhood, and I got to do that, and I really loved it. I went from church work to executive search, working for an organization that helped churches and nonprofits and schools find staff and leaders. And that was a dream job. And I loved that. And it was really great. And then some just changes in our life led to me transitioning out of the corporate world into residential real estate in 2018, where I got my residential real estate license, became a realtor, and started selling houses. And I'll say that's where kind of Houston Made was born, at least the first idea, first thought of Houston Made came to be. When I became a realtor, when I got my license, a part of that was because I had so many friends, at least somewhere between, like, let's say a dozen, maybe 16 good friends who all were running their own businesses that ranged from all kinds of things. Many of them have been guests on this show. So back then at that time, Jeff Gilmer, his wife and their partners were running and are still running Pretty Cool, which is a home goods company that has had their products sold in Nordstrom and Anthropology and all kinds of really cool high-end stores that I'm not even cool enough to know about. Another Tony Lerman was a guest on season one, one of my favorite people in the whole world. He is the chef and owner of El Topo down in West U, some of the best food and coolest restaurants in town. Highly recommend it. Bob Sutton, Holly Tate running Statesman Beverage Company. And that's just like scratching the surface. Seriously, I'm not exaggerating when I said at least 12 people who were around my life in 2016, 17, 18 that had their own businesses and were generous enough to just talk to me about it. I think at that time, I didn't have an idea of I'm going to be an entrepreneur, I'm going to be a business owner, but I loved having conversations about it. I loved picking their brains. I think a part of it always was based on the fact that you can just do stuff in this world. When I joined that executive search company, it was still very much in a startup phase. And it was rough around the edges, but really fun and was growing at a crazy pace to becoming a multi-million-dollar company. And I got to ride that. And I remember being so shocked at how this big corporation kind of grew out of this little thing. And that it all came from an idea of somebody saying, I have a service that I think I can offer. Would you like to pay me for that service? and somebody said yes, and then more people said yes, to the point where it grew into this huge thing with all of these employees. And I think seeing that firsthand, and then seeing all of my friends who just went out and started something. Bob Sutton's interview on this episode, or his interview on this show, is such a testimony to that. He started making simple syrup because his family wouldn't let him bring a dish to Thanksgiving dinner. Started making simple syrup for cocktails. Did that a couple years in a row, brought some to the office at one point. People liked it. He made enough to sell. People bought it. And then he brought on Holly. And then they built this really cool company based on simple syrup. And it's been featured in HEB. It's like you can find it in Specs and stores literally all across the country. All because he just started doing it. And once I realized that, I think that's when I started getting the itch for like entrepreneurship as it was. That like, oh, like you just want to do a thing and you think you can convince people to give you money for it, then you can do that. And that can be a business. That could be a company. And so I got my license, and becoming a realtor was like buying my seat at that table. I don't think it was until one of the interviews on this show that I realized that when you get your real estate license, you're basically becoming a franchise owner. I never really had put those two ideas together, but that's essentially what it is. When I got my license, I joined Keller Williams and was taught the Keller Williams way of doing real estate. And it very much was, you can do this however you want, but you probably don't know how to do it, so do it this way. And that was such a great launching point for me. And there were so many things that I did so poorly, but you just have to figure it out. And as I got into real estate, I found out that I was pretty good at it. I don't know that I was ever particularly proud of being a realtor. That's not what I thought my life was going to be. But I did really like helping people. I really liked helping them navigate these very emotionally stressful situations and transactions. I found that obviously a lot of the skills that I had learned in church work applied very well to that. A lot of the skills that I had learned in executive search applied very well to the real estate world. And so I grew that business and learned so much, and again was surrounded by this community of friends, and this is a huge shout out to Clay Harkey of Twisted Arrow Goods. He also has an episode on this show, who was always just so transparent with his own business and so generous with his time. Whenever I had a question, whenever I didn't know if I was doing the right thing, while we were in vastly different industries, Twisted Arrow Goods makes home goods, leather goods, all kinds, some apothecaries, like they do a lot of different things, but it's sure as hell not real estate. But so many of the principles applied and taught me so many lessons about how I ought to be running that business. And then in the time, you just figure out a lot of stuff, you know, they're just lessons you cannot learn until you are on the trail, on that path. Here's a, for instance, one of these days I have been trying to convince Donna Edge to be a guest on this. At the time, she was working as a CPA, had a I guess, do they have practices like doctors? Working at a as a CPA, had a thriving CPA practice. That's what we're going to go with. Because my first big year in real estate, I made over six figures. And then when I started doing my own taxes on H&R Block, H&R Block was like, hi, you owe $24,000 to the IRS. I had been saving some money up for taxes, but I did not have $24,000 saved up. And so by necessity, I found a CPA who would educate me and hold my hand. And that was Donna. And I paid her a few hundred dollars, and she was able to get that down from 24 to, I think, like 20. And so it was like a few hundred dollars to save $4,000. I was like, yeah, that's a square deal. Thank you very much. But more importantly, she helped me set up the structure of my business a way that wouldn't happen anymore. And in subsequent years, I've gotten a return despite making a lot of money. And the reason that I tell that story is because there were so many realtors that I was working with who were making far more money than I was, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and had never gotten that piece of it figured out. They weren't running their real estate business as if it were a business. They were just doing real estate, making a lot of money, putting it in their family's checking account, and then paying a lot of money in taxes at the end of the year, or, you know, the beginning of the year. You know that works. And that was like this moment where I realized, oh, I may not be making as much money as these people, but my business is technically further along than these people. And again, I think came from me looking at that as a business. And again, being surrounded by people who are like, oh, you should go find a CPA. So that, again, I told you it's going to be a lot of rambling. All of that to say, Houston Made was really born out of the fact that I was already having so many of these conversations about business, about entrepreneurship, about our journeys, my journey, the journey of my friends who are kind of on a similar journey, that I just wanted to keep having them. And that's where Houston Made was born. And it was the idea that I want to talk to more business owners and pick their brains. I say it at the beginning of every episode, including this one, so that I can find out what it's like to be in the middle of that journey and selfishly gain insights as I build my own business. And now it's businesses, because I've got more than one. And, you know, it's selfish because I am gaining that. But my hope is that you all realize that that's tongue in cheek, because I go through a lot of effort and spend a lot of money to make this show public so that you can hear it. So hopefully it's not purely selfish, but that's where it came from. That's how it was born. And since then, we did 23 guests across 32 episodes in season one. And then in this year, at the beginning of this year, I had taken a break because on top of residential real estate, in the time that I was doing all that, I had started picking up a camera and making videos for friends. And then I started getting paid to make videos and got more and more clients and realized like, oh, this is a business. I want to make videos for people as a business. And so I built Rusty Gates Media, and that really corresponded with Houston Made Podcast. This show and Rusty Gates Media were really born simultaneously, a little bit by accident, but also a lot by not accident. And so at the beginning of this year, after doing the show from May to December last year, I knew I needed a break. So I took a few months off. And in that time, was both busy running a thriving real estate business and building a media company from the ground up and getting clients. That's super exciting, but it was also a lot of work. But I came back at it and wanted to create season two of the show, do it even better. My plan was to do 10 episodes. I talk about that early on in the season, and then, you know, take another break and do another 10 episodes and take a break and so on and so forth. And I got 5 episodes in of season two, and they're excellent. They're just so many good guests. All of them are great guests. And I'm biased, right? I love this show. The reason I ask people to be guests is because I want to talk to them. So, you know, I do love all these guests, but last season, season two, I got to talk with people that I had wanted to connect with for so long. There are a couple that I didn't expect to have as guests, and I got to have as guests that I was thrilled about. But like Joseph West and Rudy Rasmus were people that I had wanted to sit down with for so long. And this show gave me the opportunity to do that. And I wanted to go again all the way to 10 episodes, but ultimately I just got too busy, right? The reality is that I was busy with real estate, which that has for the last 4 or 5 years been my primary means of income. Really busy with Rusty Gates Media, which has been taking off. I'm very fortunate and grateful to be able to say that I've gotten to work with so many amazing clients, and I'm making highlight videos and social media content and long form content for local businesses, including some of the likes of No Label Brewing out in Katy. That's, I'm super, super proud of that. Texas Berea Boys, the Mortgage Collective, they've been such great clients and partners with me in the real estate business. So to work with them on the media side as well has been really, really fun. I've gotten to travel to Colorado and San Diego, or to California, this year with my camera because of my camera. And that's been awesome. But so as all of that stuff was taking off and I had more and more work to do, both in real estate and with the media company, I just couldn't keep Houston Made going, not by myself. And up until now, it has been me. It's been almost exclusively me. At the very beginning, I did partner with and hire Mac Ryan Creative to help me brand the show at the very beginning. And she, Haley of Mac Ryan Creative, did so much work to help me get my thoughts in order to launch this show and do it really well. But once it was really going, it's been me, right? All the social media graphics, all of the reels that you've seen, setting up the interviews, recording the interviews, editing, posting, all of it has been me, which has been really, really good practice and for so many things. But when it came to choosing between real estate, the media company, and the podcast, unfortunately, I just had to hit the brakes. I had to bail a little bit. And I am sorry for that. For those of you that have been listening regularly, I am genuinely sorry that to just disappear without kind of notice. But that's just how it goes. You know, a book that I have been reading this year that has been really, really helpful for me and is helpful for self-identified Enneagram sevens is the book Essentialism, which basically says you can't do everything, right? Maybe you can do a lot of things over a long period of time, but you cannot do everything and you certainly cannot do everything at once, which is a truth that I try to ignore constantly in my life. But as I read this and was starting to get burned out and just wasn't sleeping because there are not enough hours in the day to do all the things and to take very, very good care of my clients in both businesses, the podcast is the thing that I just had to say no to. And you know what? The world didn't burn down. My world didn't fall apart. And I got the other stuff done. And I knew I wanted to come back to Houston Made and do it well and do it even better than I had already. But I knew that that was going to mean getting help. And so that was one of the big changes that I made this summer. Took some time, but connected with a virtual assistant, Megan Holstein, who is fantastic. She is growing that business. I have hired her part-time and try to give her regular work as much as I possibly can. And I have plenty of it, but if you're interested, she's great and I highly recommend. But I hired her on as an administrative partner to help me with Houston Made, with the media company, and scaling some of these things so that I can manage multiple things at one time. And she has been just phenomenal. The reality is that Houston Made Season 3 is well underway, and that has only happened because of Megan's time, effort, and energy making it happen. So she's now coordinating interviews, and we already have, I think, seven episodes booked. I've already recorded two, and we've got more this week and next week, and it's just going to keep going. And so I'm very excited for that. And then I've also been working to hire out editors for some of the social media stuff, right? I think that the type of social media work that I am doing for Houston Made, the reels, is a pretty time intensive creative work, and I'm trying to find people. I've had some conversations that seem really positive, but again, just offloading some of that so I can devote myself to the most important things, per the book Essentialism, that, you know, make me the most money and have show the most return on my effort and my time, even if that means that I have to pay other people good money to do parts of this that I certainly can do, but shouldn't be doing because it's just not the best use of my time. So all of that to say, Houston Made Season 3 is coming. It is on its way. We have some phenomenal guests. I've already enjoyed the conversations we've gotten to have, and I just want to continue making this show. This show very much is for small business owners and entrepreneurs, but also, and maybe even more importantly, for people who want to be. I just think that there's so many of us out there that want to do our own thing, and we don't know how. There's so many of even the most basic first steps that get overwhelming: filing an LLC, finding a CPA, managing taxes, managing income and deductions, contracts, all of it. And I'll just say, at least the way that it's gone for me is you just have to learn one thing at a time, which is super frustrating because I would love to know all of the things all at once and be 5 years ahead of where I am now constantly. That's maybe my Enneagram 7 in me is I want to be there. I want to be better right now already. But as I've grown through the real estate stuff, now the media side stuff, and in Houston Made, there is just so much of it, like I said, that you can't know until you're at that part of the journey. You just can't. So I hope that if you are listening to this and you've made it this far in this little update, that you'd recognize you didn't find that. Maybe there's some other people who listen, you know, they're family members. Thank you guys. I love you. Thank you for listening. That means a lot to me. Some friends maybe that like hearing me ramble, probably a small percentage of you. But I am very excited about season 3. And I do think that this is a great show. I am proud of it. I'm proud of the conversations that I've had. I'm proud of the value I think that we are putting out there. I've often contrasted this show to something like how I built it, how I made this, how I built this. See, I don't even know the name of the show. But obviously, they interview these very, very successful multimillionaires, sometimes billionaires, of these huge corporations. And then they tell that journey. And I think that that's fine. But when you're so far along in that journey that you've got, you know, thousands of employees, it's just, I think it's different than those of us that are just in it right here. You know, I don't know that we'll ever be that big or that successful. And you certainly don't have to have thousands of employees and make millions and billions of dollars in order to have a successful, fulfilling life as an entrepreneur and as a business owner. I just don't think you need to. And that's just a different job, right? When you're a CEO of a big corporation, that is a different thing. Maybe there's a podcast for CEOs. I'm sure there is in this day and age, but that's not who this is for. My hope is that this is for people who are in the trenches, want to be in these trenches, have somehow come to believe the glamorization of all of this entrepreneurship, and maybe have put their toes in the water and want a little bit of companionship. Because I will say that this journey of entrepreneurship, of even especially like solopreneurship, is a lonely one. It is hard. There are certainly benefits to it. I've been really proud that, you know, as a solopreneur, I can make really quick decisions for my business. I could say, I want to do this now. And then I look around and talk to the board, which is just me. And I do it. But there's also not a lot of feedback when it comes to really simple things of like, hey, I think I'm going to sign up for this document signing program. Do you think that's a good one? And I look around and there's no one there to give me any kind of feedback. So I hope that this show inspires people to continue along this journey, makes them feel a little bit less alone on the journey. And and provides some level of value to help you get further on this entrepreneurial journey, because we've had some phenomenal guests that have done some really, really cool things in a lot of different industries. And I don't know how valuable my rambling always is, but I certainly know that I walk away from all of these conversations just inspired and fired up to do things. Usually in my case, it's to do exactly what it is that they're doing. So I go like, oh, that sounds awesome. Maybe I should be a sommelier and run my own vineyard. And then I know and realize it's like, no, I literally don't want to do that forever. I cannot do all of the things. So this show gives me a chance to kind of step into their world for a little bit and just enjoy it and enjoy the conversation and get a glimpse into it. So I think that's it, man. That's all I've got. Season 3 is coming. I'm sorry to ghost everybody at the end of season 2, but we're just going to call it season 2. That's it. Season 2 had 5 episodes. That's how life goes sometimes. That's how business goes sometimes. It's a great, great season. Short, but sweet, very nutrient and value rich. So go listen to those episodes and stay tuned for season 3. We are looking for more guests. Sure. If you want to be a guest on the show, I get a lot of requests. Reach out to media, M-E-D-I-A, at rghtx.com. Media at rghtx.com. If you'd like to be a guest or you'd like to, you know, recommend someone as a guest, certainly do that. We get a lot of requests, which I'm always humbled by, but we are pretty selective of kind of who we have and to have a really diverse background. But anyway, reach out. We are also looking for sponsors. Just a huge, huge shout out to Uproar Printing, who has been the sponsor of this show really all summer long, even when we were on hiatus. That is a huge, huge gift. But yeah, if you are interested in sponsoring this show, you should reach out, media at rghtx.com, and let us know. This show does have a loyal fan base and is made up of small businesses and entrepreneurs. So if you would like to get in front of small businesses and entrepreneurs or get into their ears, maybe Houston Made is the right place for you. So please reach out. With all of that, I am just grateful again to all of you for listening to the show, both now and in the past, and for continuing to listen and for sharing it on social media and all of those things. You are awesome. I hope you have a great day and continue, you know, making stuff and selling stuff and offering services, because you're making the world a better place. So keep it up. Thanks, friends.